This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA flash briefing. Beginning Monday, December 23rd, those of us at SMA News Today will be taking a break for the holiday season. The flash briefings that you normally listen to every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday will resume on Friday, January 3rd, 2020. We hope that you, your family, and loved ones have a wonderful holiday season, and we look forward to bringing you the latest news and perspectives regarding SMA in 2020. I'm Michael Morale, Senior Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
AveXis, a part of Novartis, is working diligently with the U.S. FDA. They want to identify steps necessary to lift the hold on its gene therapy trial in patients with SMA types 2 and 3. They are trying to find out what caused the inflammation in primates in a preclinical study who were given AVXS-101, or Zolgensma. The FDA placed a partial hold on the open-label Phase 1-2 STRONG trial. This was after troubling safety findings were found in late October. This hold stopped both treatment and further enrollment for the high-dose STRONG group. Treatment by intrathecal injection at low and middle doses is complete, and no safety concerns were found. This was among 32 children already treated, including an unidentified number at the high dose. Zolgensma's commercial use and its approval, which is by intravenous IV infusion in SMA infants and toddlers up to age 2, is not affected by the hold. Ongoing IV administration trials are also untouched. AveXis said that no evidence of similar inflammation has been seen in treated children in a thorough review of all available sources. The evidence they have likely goes back more than 5 years, when Zolgensma's first Phase 1 trial happened. The primate study, reported to involve 12 monkeys, divided the animals into 3 groups. The primary goal was to test a contrast agent for spinal delivery. AveXis said its main purpose was to see the impact of 2 agents on lower motor neuron transduction efficiency in intrathecal administration. Safety was a secondary study concern. One primate group was given an IT injection without a contrast agent, another the injection with contrast agent A, and the final group with contrast agent B. Inflammation appeared in dorsal root ganglia due to an infiltration of mononuclear cells. This type of inflammatory reaction can damage nerve cells and lead to their loss. But such inflammation was found in all 3 monkey groups. So the contrast agent, one that was used in the STRONG trial, all 3 groups showed comparable DRG, dorsal root ganglia, inflammation. And there is no evidence that the contrast agent influenced the findings. Therefore, it's not known what caused the inflammation. Dorsal root ganglia are a cluster of sensory nerve cell bodies at the posterior root of spinal nerves. These cell bodies help to transmit sensory messages of pain and touch. Other primates in early studies not necessarily done by AveXis or Novartis have had similar inflammatory reactions, and these were traced to the use of the viral vector that carries the gene therapy to cells. The virus used with Zolgensma transports the gene therapy to the specialized motor nerve cells that control muscle contraction. It helps the cells that are damaged and dying in SMA patients because of mutations from the SMN1 gene. Similar findings were found when the viruses were administered to monkeys and mini pigs. An AveXis spokesperson said that the clinical significance of the DRG inflammation observed in this non-clinical study is not known. Likely among these reports was a University of Pennsylvania study in 3 monkeys and mini pigs. It found degeneration of dorsal root ganglia sensory neurons in 6 animals and liver toxicity in a monkey. In the piglets, sensory neuron findings included movement deficits and poor coordination. Penn researchers traced these findings directly to the use of viral vectors at high doses, but AveXis researchers said that there were distinct differences in the vector used in AVXS-101 trials and the one that was used at Penn. AveXis researchers were alerted to its own preclinical red flag findings when study safety results arrived in March. They planned to include them in a September annual update to trial investigators, but unfortunately, a mistake was made, and AveXis didn't include it. While Novartis was reviewing information given to the FDA earlier, under what it called a 483 response, this omission was identified, and the issue was quickly assessed. At this point, the appropriate steps were taken to notify trial investigators and health authorities. In total, 140 patients have been treated with Zolgensma by either IV infusion or IT injection. The exact numbers for each method were not disclosed, but more than 100 are thought to have been given IV and 32 via intrathecal. None have shown any signs of sensory messaging problems in follow-up examinations, and that stretches back years. AveXis has completed a thorough review of safety data, and no adverse effects related to sensory changes have been seen. AveXis researchers favored IT infusion for types 2 and 3 SMA patients, and these tend to be older children, teenagers, and adults. This is because it targets spinal motor neurons and allows for lower dosing that might avoid an immune reaction to the viral vector. But IV infusion is system-wide. It delivers the gene therapy via the viral vector to the brain and spinal cord and elsewhere. Scientists found that high levels of the SMN protein are needed early in life, but this need drops after infancy. AveXis had an approach to use IV early in infants to replicate the natural biological situation of needing it system-wide. Older patients are given IT infusion to deliver SMN where it's needed most, which is in the motor neurons of the spine. Further, AveXis and Novartis by extension came to the FDA's attention earlier this year because of data manipulation issues. This led to inaccuracies in the application it filed for Zolgensma's approval. AveXis was reported to have learned of the manipulation and inaccuracies in early animal tests that were included in its application in March 2019, but neither company informed regulators of these issues until June, and that was 5 weeks after the FDA's approval decision in May. But overall, Zolgensma's quality is not in question. As of now, the data issues are seemingly unrelated to the safety concerns of this recent primate study.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forums Director, Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in learning more about the latest treatment for spinal muscular atrophy? Visit treatsma.com to see how this treatment works, hear about family stories, and learn about the steps to starting treatment. Visit treatsma.com.
Hey everyone, and happy Friday! So today is our last day of the year here at SMA News Today. And first off, I wanted to thank everyone for their support this year, whether it's listening to our podcast and flash briefings, or checking out everything on our main site, or listening to, or watching videos on our YouTube channel. We couldn't do any of this without your support, so I wanted to thank you on behalf of our entire team. And for today, I just wanted to share some of the highlights for me personally from this year. You know, we've created a lot of content, but there were a few pieces in particular that I got to create that I'm really proud of, and I just wanted to go over. So first is just a few of the podcast episodes, and you can find all of these on our archives wherever you listen to the SMA News Today podcast. But the first was, I think this was around March or April, but I did an interview with Angela and Justin Titcomb. Angela is a friend of mine I met through Cure SMA conferences, and I had the pleasure of talking with her and her husband, Justin, and they just got to tell their story and talk about the nuances of being in an inter-abled marriage and working, daily living, all of these things. It was a really fascinating conversation, and if you haven't gotten a chance to check it out, I highly recommend you do. The second one was more recent, and that was with Jim and Becky Berry. I believe it was episode 45. And Jim and Becky are also good friends of mine, and they lost their eldest son, Carson, last year. He had SMA type 2 and was also a good friend of mine. And they also have a younger brother, a younger son, Carson's younger brother, named Cooper, and he has SMA type 3. So they also, you know, went deep into their story and told Carson's life story and, of course, talked about his passing and also the dynamics of raising two boys with SMA and what that was like. And it was another just really powerful conversation that I ended up writing a column about as well. So I encourage you all to check that out as well, whether you're a parent or someone with SMA or just interested in learning more about SMA. Do go check that one out. And then the last podcast I want to hit on real quick was the most recent interview I did, which was with James Ian. James is a musician with SMA who I got to meet at the Cure SMA conference this summer. And he's just a really awesome guy. We had a great conversation about media representation of people with disabilities and what it's like being an artist with a disability in LA. And he just did a great job sharing his story and talking about his diagnosis when he was a teenager and how that affected him and how it tied into his art specifically. And so that was a really great conversation, especially if you're interested in artists with disabilities, and I really encourage you to check that out. So lastly, I just wanted to real quick share an excerpt from a column I wrote a little earlier this year, and you can also check this out on our main site or go back and listen to one of the flash briefings where I recorded this, but you did the audio recording of it. But this was a column published on September 10th, and it was titled "How Self-Advocacy Helped Me Gain More Independence." So I just wanted to close with this quote because it really encapsulates a lot of what I write about and really why I do this kind of work. And so I just wanted to read this last paragraph real quick. Unfortunately, there's no clear-cut roadmap for life with SMA. A customized SMA GPS would no doubt be a nice luxury to have on the back of my wheelchair, but it would make things a little too easy. Living with SMA has taken me in all kinds of unexpected and chaotic directions. But my ability to think and advocate for myself has helped me to face those obstacles head on. All I had to do was take that first small step. So again, I wanted to thank everyone for their support this year. We look forward to 2020 and all the things we will do there. So we hope you will keep on listening and keep on checking out our content on our main site. And always feel free to connect with us on our forums. So thanks, everyone, and I hope you all have a great holiday season. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Forums Director for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. I'm Michael Morale, Senior Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.